Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's turn over here this morning. And during our conference, the Lord laid this message on my heart. And it's been a blessing to me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. Let's take a look here. Matthew 4, 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. In Mark chapter 1, we see this same account. Mark chapter 1, verse number 16. Mark chapter 1, verse number 16. Now as he, that is Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, that is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your blessings upon us in every way. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that you've convicted and brought us here together today to worship you. Help us to lay aside the cares of life. Help us to lay aside those things that we have planned, those things that trouble us, those burdens that we bear, Father. Help us to lay all those things aside that we might worship you and render unto you the worship and praise and honor and glory that's due your name. We thank you for the way you've blessed in the services already. And Lord, help us just to be sensitive to your spirit and not the other spirits that may be about, Father, but that we'd be sensitive to your spirit and your leading and your direction unto us. And Lord, speak to us through your word. We need you, Father. We pray for those that are here and not saved, Father, that you would move with your spirit and speak to them and work in them. Lord, save them. Help them to see Jesus and make him precious unto the salvation of their souls. Help now and bless. Father, we need you in every way, and we pray you'd work in our midst even today. We thank you for the way that you have. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here we have these two accounts in the Gospels, and our Lord Jesus calls our brethren here, two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and then James and John, and he says, you're fishers. He sees that, and that's obvious by the account in the Scriptures. But he says, come follow me, come ye after me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Fishers of men, that's what we want to preach about here this morning. We see in the beginning of these texts that there is a call. There's a call at hand. The Lord says, follow me. He comes to these brethren. He sees that they're working, and it seems like that Peter and Andrew were even out there in a boat. And I think we're going to see that here in another account that we'll look at in Luke. But the Lord sees their work. He sees them toiling at that. He sees them working together at that. They're trying to catch fish. They're looking to catch fish. Maybe they're catching fish. And they catch that fish. They get it up in the boat, and then they take it, and they sell it, and they eat it. That's their business. That's what they've been brought up in. That's what they know. That's all they know. That's what they do. And our Lord comes up to them as they're in the midst of that. And he said, you fish for fish. But he says, follow me. Come ye after me. I'm going to change what you do. I'm going to make you fishers of men. There's a call indeed, isn't there? There's a call from our Lord. Have you been called by our Lord? Have you been called? You know, Peter tells us that we need to make our calling and election sure. Have we been called? Was there a time, a day, a working of the Lord in your life where he called you when he said you, your name, come follow me? Is that the case? I tell you what, we'll even see it here in this afternoon's message. So be here for that in the afternoon service in Romans chapter 8. That there is a call of the Lord. And you know what? No one else's call can be brought over here to you. I love my wife. Clarissa and I have been married 25 years and working on 26. And we love one another and we're together. And the Lord's blessed us in our home and our family, our marriage, our love and relationship, our friendship and kinship. But you know what? The Lord's calling upon her can't be stretched over here to me. My Lord's calling upon me cannot be stretched over there to her. As close as we are, as close as that relationship is, the calling of the Lord is an individual calling. Has the Lord called you? Our Lord called these brethren. And you know, there weren't fireworks, and there wasn't a great solar eclipse, and there wasn't a big flash that took place, and there wasn't, a chorus of angelic host to praising God. But the Lord came and said, follow me. Simply follow me. There's a call at hand in here in being a fisher of men. You do what you do now, but come follow me. You know what? We can't follow another and be fishers of men. We can only be a fisher of men by following our Lord. Had they not followed, could they be fishers of men? They could not. Only by following the Lord and obeying that call can we be fishers of men. You know what? In this being a fisher of men and fishers of men, as the Lord called, you understand, I trust that you do, that our Lord Jesus, as he walked the seashores of Galilee, and even in these accounts, I believe that the Lord was building his church. He was building his church simply as he called those brethren to come and follow him. You know the accounts in the Gospels where it tells about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist, when the Lord came near unto him where he was baptizing, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. And you know, our brethren heard that as they were down there with John. And they saw the one that John referenced, and he did so one day, and then he did so the next day, and our Lord Jesus was baptized of John. And you know what? Those disciples, at the directive of John, began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ rather than following him. And you know what? There were disciples. You read it in John chapter 3. We read it there where they said to John, everybody's going after this Jesus of Nazareth. They're following him, John. And he said, that's great. They were jealous. There were some disciples that were jealous of John. They had a desire for him. He said, look, he said, they're following after him rather than following after you. And John said, well, yeah, he must increase and I must decrease. That's the way it is. John wanted the disciples to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as our Lord calls and his work calls these men and is building his church, not only is there a call, but there is a directive, isn't there? There's a call. There's an individual call. And then from the context of the Lord's church, there is a directive about this being a fisher of men. Fishers of men. In Mark chapter 16, take a look over here. Mark 16, and we fast forward 3 years after the accounts that we've read here, 3 years or so. Well, 3 years, and we see here in Mark chapter 16 where the Lord gives this great commission, this directive about this related, and that is very much a part of being fishers of men. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, and he said unto them, who's the them? Verse 14, afterward appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. May we learn from that. May we not rail on them, but may we not be unbelieving and may we not be hard of heart. because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They didn't believe the word of the Lord that was carried by the women, right? He's risen. They said, no, 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 they can't be right. And he said unto them, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Now, there's a call, there's an individual call of the children of God to salvation and to service or baptism, to be a part of one of his churches. And there's a commission to go and be that fishers of men, to preach the gospel to every creature. We look here at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and I believe it's the same account as the others, but it's more extensive, the ones that we read in Matthew and the book of Mark. Being fishers of men, there's a call, there's a directive, there's a great commission that our Lord has given. And listen to what these words say, much here. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed on him, that is Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee, okay, the Sea of Tiberias, all one and the same, and saw two ships standing by the lake, okay. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Okay, so fishermen do what fishermen do. They catch fish, but then they also prepare, don't they? They prepare and they repair the nets in this case, and they do those things that are necessary. They have equipment that they have for their fishing work. And they're repairing, they're washing their nets, and they're fixing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So he comes there, and he gets in that little ship. They're washing their nets, because why? They've been fishing at night. Okay, evidently that's what they do. Evidently the catch is better, or the fish are at hand, or something about that they know about fishing. They've been out at night, and most likely, and so they're getting things ready and wrapped up and cleaned up so they can be ready to go out the next night, okay? And the Lord Jesus tells Peter, says, push your boat out here a little bit. I want to teach the people. And so Peter does so. He taught the people out of the ship. Verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he was done with what he expounded to the people. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That's pretty plain, isn't it? I mean, isn't that simple? Is there anything complicated about that? Peter, go out here where there's deeper water. Let down the net. There's a catch to be caught. Go. See, you know, we don't need to fuss and meddle and wrestle and gripe and complain and quarrel with what our Lord says. We just need to hear him and believe him and trust him and follow him in it, don't we? In every little simple thing, and our Lord keeps it simple, there are those things that are maybe complicated, but the things of day-to-day life, the things of the instruction of our Lord and how he is and how he would have us to walk, he makes them very plain and simple. He says, launch out into the deep. He tells him how far to go. He says, let your net down. He tells him what to do. He said, because you're going to catch something. What our Lord gives us is simple, and we just need to obey him. When we do, there's no greater place of blessing and peace. It goes on to say, and Simon answering unto him said, Master, we have toiled all the night. We have worked hard. We have labored hard. Lord, we are tired. Lord, we went out and we worked all night and we are tired and we've got all this stuff washed up, wrapped up, cleaned up, ready to go for tomorrow. We went out and we worked hard and we didn't catch a thing. We didn't catch a thing. May the Lord help us not talk back to the Lord. May the Lord help us that we not doubt our Lord. May the Lord help us that we be on the edge of our seats, being on the edge of our lives, if you will, listening to our Lord, and when he speaks, to take it to heart. Not doubt, not quarrel, not say, oh, it's too much. It's too much to do. Listen to what Peter says. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word. because you've said it. You know what? That needs to be where we need to be. The Lord has given His word. He's spoken to us. And that alone is enough. Our Lord has spoken to us about this situation of being fishers of men. He's talks to us about other things in life. And when He speaks, nevertheless, at Thy word, I'll obey You, Lord, at Thy word. That's what's so important, is the word of the Lord, the word, the utterance. That is which has come from the lips, from the breath of our Lord. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. At Thy word, I'm tired, Lord. We've worked all night. We've got things prepared for tomorrow. But because You say it, because of Your directive, I'll do it. And we have a directive. We have a directive from our Lord to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And we need to listen to our Lord. It goes on to say here, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. So much for the repair work, huh? And probably that morning they didn't have much to repair because they didn't catch anything, did they? And their net is breaking, and they beckoned unto their partners. Who's that? James and John. So you guys get on over here, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. The boats, the ships are sinking. Because the Lord said they were going to bring in a draw. They were going to make a catch. Where'd those fish come from? Our Lord knows where those fish came from. Our Lord filled their nets. Our Lord's word is solid, steadfast, and sure. And may we as a church, may we as His church hear His directive. Let's go on and read what it says here. And Simon Peter, when he saw it, verse 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees. We do well to get at the knees and the feet of our Lord. Now, on a whole, we're not a very humble people before our Lord. We need to be. We need to be desirous of being at the feet of our Lord. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know what? He said, "This is overwhelming to me. You are indeed greater than I. You are indeed holier than I. You are more glorious than I. I'm a wicked, sinful man." You know, when we see the glory of the Lord, we see ourselves as we really are. And we need to do that. We are, we don't need to wallow in the way. I don't believe we need to wallow in the way that what our Lord has saved us from. But we need to know our place before our Lord. We are sons. But He is above us. And we don't need to rise up within ourselves and say, "Well, I know a better way." Listen, the Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken, and we need to see Him for what He is. See, Peter sees some of the glory of the Lord. And you know what? Any of our brethren in the Scriptures, that the Scripture reveals that when they saw the glory of our Lord, they were brought to a place of humility and humbleness before the Lord. Not quarreling with the Lord. Not griping about what He says. Oh, Brother Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "What's next, Lord? What do You want me to do?" We need to see the glory of the Lord as it really is. He says, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. Could this have been that they had never taken that many fishes in that net before? Could it have been that the draught of fishes were taken in a place where they typically never catch fish? He launched out into the deep, as the Lord said, but Peter went out there to where the water was just deep enough to be able to manage the net, but not a place that they ever catch fish. I don't know. But it was more than they had ever caught before. Listen, the net for one boat. Most likely, James and John had their own net, didn't they? The net for one boat caught enough fish to sink two boats, to nearly sink two boats. at the word of our Lord. He says he was astonished. He'd seen fish caught. He knew about big catches, Peter did. But he could not believe. He was astonished. He was amazed. He marveled at the draught of fishes that were caught. And so it was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. He said, this is amazing. Keep pulling that net up. Throw those fishes in here. Put those over there in your boat, Peter. Said, we don't have enough room. We're taking on water as it is. Put them over there in your boat. Said, we don't have any room either. They were astonished. You know, may we believe what our Lord says, and may we believe this directive. May we take and say, nevertheless, at thy word. See, hear that? Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to obey you. Lord, because you said it, I'm going to obey you. Because you said it, I'm going to adopt it and take it to heart and take it to be part of my life. So was also James and John, verse 10, and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. The Lord has manifested that indeed he's in charge of what's going on here, isn't he? Peter, launch out into the deep. We've not caught any fish, Lord, and we're sure not going to catch any in the daytime. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to go. And they let it down and catch these fish. He said, he's saying to them, as you have been catching fish all your life, your calling, your personal calling, your vocation is going to be to fish, not for fish, but you're going to fish my way. At my directive, you're going to fish for men. You're going to fish for men. He says, fear not. From henceforth, from this point forward, thou shalt catch men. Listen to this. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I think they believe it now, don't you? Peter, James, or Peter and Andrew and James and John. They didn't even wait. They forsook all, even the fish that were in the boats. Sounds like Zebedee and the hired servants were going to be busy that morning, and no doubt they were excited. But those brethren obeyed our Lord and they followed him. We have a directive. We have a directive. And of course, we know that the apostles, these brethren, are the first of the leadership in the Lord's church as he's building his church. We see in this, not only do we have a call, a personal call, we have a directive as our Lord's church, but also we have equipment, don't we? They had equipment. And we have equipment in a sense. What did they have? Well, we see here the Lord told Peter, push out a little bit in your boat there. I want to teach the people on the side of the seashore. You know what? We have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's put us in. In a sense, that's our fishing boat, isn't it? That is our fishing boat. As they would use their actual boats and ships to go out into Galilee and to catch those fish, we have been given the Lord's church to do this fishing for men. The Lord's church. In Matthew chapter 16, I know it's familiar. Let's turn over here and read it again. In Matthew 16, our Lord asks a question, and we would do well to answer this question ourselves as members of his church here. He said unto them in verse number 15 of Matthew 16, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He asked them, what's the world think? And they told him. And then he said, but what do you say? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Redeemer. You're the Savior. You're the Deliverer, the Son of the living God. We know you are the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, a little stone, a little pebble, but upon this rock, a great majestic rock, bedrock, if you will, the Lord Jesus speaking of himself, I will build my church on myself. And you know what? The gates of hell, death itself upon the membership of my church will not prevail against my church. Although I'll add people to my churches, although I'll add them and they'll serve me and they'll follow me and they'll live out their lives and they'll die, I'll bring others. And until I come, my church is going to be standing. And my church is not, the Lord's church, it's evident, is not a building. It's not a campus. It's not things that are made of this world, but his church, his churches are made of people that he saves and he calls and he adds to his church by virtue of baptism and the authority that the Lord has given, all those scriptural things, those scriptural elements that are necessary for it to be right. He adds to his church and he's founded her, and that is the boat from which we ship fish for men. I will give thee, he says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You'll have the answer. You'll know the truth. You'll know the word of God. You'll be the pillar and ground of the truth, that the world might come and know about me. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. It was appropriate for that time. They had equipment as fishers. They had their boats. And we have been given the church from which to fish for men. And then we see in these accounts that they had the net. They had the net, didn't they? They had the net. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I trust this is familiar to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have our net. We don't fish with a physical net, but we go and fish for men with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We have the church, which is our boat. We have the net, which is the gospel. And it says here, Paul writes in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." The scriptures declare what the scriptures have said. It was prophesied that the Lord would do so. The Lord Jesus prophesied even himself of what he would do. Destroy this temple, and after 3 days I'll raise it up again. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. I'm going to be given over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be rejected of the elders. The Lord knew all that. It was prophesied by even he himself, and it was so, and it was true, and it came to pass. First of all, how he also received how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas. There were witnesses, Peter, and then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. There were many witnesses that saw our Lord alive after his death and after his resurrection, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James and of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. We have the equipment that our Lord has given us, the church from which our Lord has designed and directed. All there may be others that would preach the gospel. And as we read, Brother Bobby read this morning, there are many. There are many that are out there that preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not to forbid them. We are to be a good witness of things that our Lord has shown us. But the Lord's design and directive is to fish with his, out of his boat and with his net. Amen. That's his design, and we should follow in that. Very much akin to what the Lord gave Moses on the mount. Follow the pattern, follow the example. And so we have the great net of the gospel. You know what? We can look on at that net and we could say, well, I don't know if that net's strong enough, but we don't need to. That net is right. That net is true. That net is not going to make sense to carnal man. But you know what? That net is the power of God into salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We don't need to be ashamed of our net because it's been given to us by the Lord. You know what? We find in the scriptures that our brethren, it says that they were mending their nets. You know what? If we mend this net, if you understand what I'm saying, if we mend this net incorrectly or use our own net, we will catch our own fish. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to stink. It will. We need to use our Lord's net. If we use our own device, we make up our own net. We take the gospel net that our Lord has given us. It's His church. Fishing out of His church with His net. We take that net and we repair it incorrectly. Or we say, no, we've got a better net. You know what? We're going to catch our own fish rather than the Lord, what the Lord has ordained. Jesus preached the gospel, didn't He? Jesus preached the gospel. He preached the gospel right at the beginning of His ministry. We see this in Mark chapter 1, verse number 14. Mark 1, 14. Right there before the passage and account that we read, our Lord Jesus did what? He preached the gospel. It was the net that He used. It's His net. Mark chapter 1, verse number 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We've got our net. We've got our equipment from our Lord. His boat, which is His church, that He's so graciously put us in, and the gospel net, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given, and we need to obey Him. Nevertheless, at thy word, His word is what we need to cling to. What He has said, what He has called, what He has directed, that's what we need to do. You know what? We need a reminder of this. Our brethren needed a reminder of this, didn't they? John chapter 21, last chapter of John, our Lord Jesus has given His life, and He's been buried, and He's raised from the dead. And you know what? We have times of doubt. We can have times of doubt and times of discouragement, but we need to remember what our Lord has given, what our Lord has ordained. We don't need to seek to change the equipment. We don't need to doubt what our Lord has given us to do. We need to hold fast to it. Remember, nevertheless, at thy word, our Lord has said nothing different, has He? Our circumstances change, our lives change, different things come upon us in this life, and all that changes, but our Lord never changes. The Lord has never moved. He's never moved from where He is, and He's never moved from what He says, has said, and we need to remember that. I think our brethren here are discouraged. I think Peter, he's a leader amongst the brethren there, and you know what? We need to be careful who we follow. And we need to be careful who we lead and how we lead. And John chapter 21, verse number 1, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, same place. And on this wise showed he Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, right? And two other of His disciples, Peter and six others. And Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Is that what the Lord had told him to do? Go fishing that way? Now, the Lord made it clear 3 years ago that he was to be a fisher of men. Not a fisher of fish anymore, but a fisher of men. Is there anything wrong with fishing for fish? No. No. But there's something wrong with fishing for fish when the Lord has told us to fish for something else. There's something wrong when the Lord has told us this, thus saith the Lord, and then we want to do this. There's something wrong with that. There is something wrong. Why? Because we're disobeying. We're not hanging to, nevertheless, at thy word. I go a fishing. Watch who you lead and how you lead, and watch who you follow. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. That sounded familiar, didn't it? They didn't have the Lord's blessing on it. They weren't waiting on the Lord as they should have. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, isn't this something, Brother Doug? Brother Doug's going through the John's epistles. I think this is where John got it. Amen. Children, have you any meat? How you doing? How you doing with fishing your way? How you doing with fishing out of your boat? How you doing with fishing with your net? How you doing, children? And these are grown men. These are grown men. But this is our Lord. This is our Lord and our Savior, our Father. One of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Everlasting Father. How are you doing with going your way? How am I doing with going my way? How's that working out? Is that peaceful? Is going about and doing things my way working out real good? How's it going with your way? What's the Lord say about you going your way? How's that going? How's that working out? Is there any blessing, any peace, any help in that? How's that going when we're going our own way and then we have to take what we've done and go in our own way and then stand before our Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and we have to give an answer about our own way? How's that working out? Children, have you any meat? You know, we need to hang on to what our Lord says. I've got a thought. I've got a thinking. I've got a way this way. But the Word of God comes up here and says, Jim, you're wrong. I need to adopt what the Word of God says right then. Right then. And not my own thinking and not my own way. Children, have you any meat? They answered him, nope, we sure don't. Reckon they're tired. Well, they haven't been fishing for a while. And as it is, it's real easy to, it's hard to get in shape and it's easy to get out of shape, isn't it? You reckon they're tired? Children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. You reckon in their minds that this is going back to Luke 5? What was it? Was it Luke 5? Luke 4? Luke 5. You reckon that's going back to that? Cast your net on the other side. Cast your net on the right side. Interesting, it says right side, isn't it? Cast your net on the, you know, we need to be doing the right thing. We need to be following the right thing that our Lord has given us in every way. May our Lord help us. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. It is the Lord. Peter or John remembered, didn't he? It's the Lord, Peter. I knew I shouldn't followed you out here. In the throw Peter right under the boat, right? It's the Lord, Peter. It is the Lord. Now, when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. Peter started having some conviction again, didn't he? You know what? Our Lord is just as close to us as he was to them on this day physically. Let us not forget that. Everywhere we go, as our brother mentioned, in this house of clay, in this tabernacle of clay, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, our Jesus is with us in everything that where we go, and he's right there near everything we say and what we do and what we pursue and when we pick up other equipment and we want to go with our own boat and all of that of life. He's with us right there, and he sees it. It is the Lord. Peter heard that. He puts his fisher's coat about him and jumps in. In verse number 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, about 300 feet, dragging the net of fishes. And so they come over there. Come over here and help us again. Is Luke 5 coming back? Have we been here? Is this deja vu again? Have we been here before? They dragged that net up there, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring ye of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And our Lord says unto them, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. It's interesting that John put the account here, so much so that the one net had 153 fishes. You remember how it was in Luke 5? I think that net was breaking, don't you? Do we find a net here that has 153 great fishes in it? Not little chump fishes, but great fishes in it. Do we find here a net that had more fish in it than even Luke chapter 5 had in it? And it's not breaking. May we honor and acknowledge our Lord by following him in every aspect of life and following him in his word. A reminder. Our brethren needed a reminder, and it was effectual and effective, wasn't it? Who gives us the directive to cast the net? Our Lord. Who casts the net? We do. We do. That's what our calling is. That's what the directive to us. But it's at his bidding. It's at his word. Nevertheless, at thy word. Who will provide the contents of the net? Well, just like it was in this account and other accounts, it's our Lord that will provide the contents of the net. He'll do that. He'll take care of that. Who will provide for us when we obey our Lord? When we obey our Lord and we say, Lord, I don't see how what you say here is going to work, but I'm going to follow you and step out on faith, believing and knowing that what you say is going to work, even though it doesn't make sense to this world and it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to follow you in it. I'm going to obey you in it. Who will provide for us when we obey our Lord? Is it not our Lord? Our Lord uses his gospel to catch his children. And he uses his children to cast and draw his net of the gospel. And we work and we labor and we toil out of his gospel boat, the church that he has given us. Let us be casting and drawing the gospel net out of the boat, the church that he has given us. In closing, we want to refer to one other net here in Matthew chapter 13. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we declare unto you that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And you're the chief one. You are. You're the worst sinner that you know, even if you don't know it. You need to be saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. He came and he lived, the Son of God, became a man so that he could die, and he lived a perfect life, gave his life willingly on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again so that a sinner like you can be saved. Not by anything you can do, not by anything you can pay, not by anything you can promise, but by repenting before the Lord that you need him as Savior and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't see how that's going to work, Brother Jim. That is the truth, and that is the gospel, and that is what you need. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another net at hand in Matthew chapter 13. Our Lord gives a facet, an aspect of the kingdom here in verse number 47. And he says here in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea. This is not the gospel net. And gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels and cast the bad away. The Lord speaks in parables so we might understand. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's a net that's going to be cast one day by our Lord. And understand, this is kind of like a macro view of everything, okay? This is like taking 6,000 years or whatever, all of the time of the earth and that from the time our Lord's created to the time he wraps it all up. This is just like taking, let's say, a 6,000-year view by 1,000-year steps. Down here at the end, there's going to be a net cast. And it's going to be like they're going to take it and drag it up on the shore, and they're going to sort out the good and the bad. You know what the good is? The good is that which has been caught in the gospel net. Those that have believed and trusted in the Lord have received his gospel and his salvation through Jesus Christ. Those whom our Lord has touched and saved and visited. And the bad that's referred to here, those are those that have rejected the Lord, rejected his salvation, rejected God the Father's Savior and Redeemer, have said, no, I know more what I need than God knows what I need. And they will be cast into hell, and they will be burned forever. Fishers of men, we implore you, if you're here and not saved, we point you to Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in him, and thou shalt be saved.